I mentioned yesterday, in the beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch starts off with the pasuk Shivisa Hashem LeNegdi Samid. This is a klal gadol, very important klal. So we usually translate Shivisa Hashem LeNegdi Samid. I visualize as if the Rebbe Shlom is always in front of me, and I should act accordingly. So they quote from the Baal Shem Tov that the Yisoid of all of Chassidus is an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk. Shivisi, I always have it midas ha-hishtavos, because Hashem le-negdi summit. When something terrible happens, so he doesn't fall into a deep depression. When something wonderful happens, he doesn't jump from joy, he doesn't scream and shout from the rooftops. He always has it midas ha-hishtavos, because HaKadosh Baruch is always with him. So I mentioned that my daughter got engaged, and I apologized to the chassan in public that I didn't jump from joy, because I try to have a midas hashtavos, but I see that I don't have that midas hashtavos. I apologize to you. I was trying to prepare a shiur on the next gemara, Chavav HaMeveis, and I'm just not up to it. It's a very difficult gemara. This is real Yavamas. And I was not able to prepare a shiur. I couldn't figure out what's going on. So maybe I'll talk about the Inyani Rosh Chodesh today and Inyani Parshas HaShavua. When Rosh Chodesh is Choli is B'Shabbos, so we don't say the regular Shabbos Dikah Shmoneh Esrei and just add on parentheses here and there. And you don't say the regular Rosh Chodesh Dikah Shmoneh Esrei and add on parentheses here and there. Like you have Yontav Shecholius B'Shabbos, so you say the Yontav Dikah Shmoneh Esrei and you add on something in parentheses. And Rosh Chodesh Cholius B'Shabbos, the Musaf, is at the Yatzarta, a whole different Nusach. So it's interesting, on a regular Rosh Chodesh, you don't say this nusach, but on Rosh Chodesh Cholius B'Shabbos, you do say this nusach. Ve'en anachni cholim lasas chavisein beveis pchirasech bebeis agadol kashir. Ne'ayar hashlucha b'migdoshecho. On a regular Rosh Chodesh, we don't say it. On a regular Shabbos, we also don't say that in Musaf. Just on Yontif, you say it. We just say, Yiratum afanecho, shetaleni p'simchi yaltenim sitvein b'guleinu. And we'll bring the Korban Musaf on a regular Rosh Chodesh. Also, you say like that. But Rosh Chodesh Choli is B'Shabbos. It's a question. Why? The Nusach is, Ein anach nicholim lasas chavisein b'veis chresecha b'mnei hayad ha-shlucha b'migdoshecha. So in the regular Sidurim, they have two nuschos. It says, Hayad shenishtalcho b'migdoshecha, or Hayad ha-shlucha. Shenishtalcho is in past tense. Because of the Churban, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we are unable to bring Korbanos. And Ayat HaShlucha B'Mikdash Shecha means, because right now the Arabs don't let us bring Korbanos. So one of there was a Rabbi Tzvi Ferber in London who put out many Svarim on Drush. He was he had learned in Slabotke. There were people in the neighborhood who learned by him in London. So he put out a whole sefer on the Siddur, on the Nusach HaTfilah, and most of it he quotes from earlier Svarim. So this he quotes from earlier sefer. I don't remember who the Mechaber was. The author of this sefer is Rabbi Tzvi Ferber. He's known for, he put out a sefer in Halacha, most of his Svarim Adrush, put out one sefer in Halacha about before the Second World War. He corresponded with all the Batidinim all over the world, and he wrote their opinion regarding a couple who had a civil marriage and never had a chuppah v'kiddushin, whether you require a get. So he quotes that all the rabbanim all over the world, all about the dinim, all said the same maskana, that l'chatchila you have to get a get, and if it's a chas atchakad, you can't get a get, the woman is permitted to remarry without a get. And the two who insisted that the get is l'ikuva were the Ragachover and Rav Henkin from New York. Usually people say it was a machlekes of Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Henkin. So when you look in his sefer, it's not Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's Rav Henkin. It's 98 rabbonim say like Rav Moshe Feinstein. And the Ragachover, maybe the Ragachover has 100 votes, but the Ragachover and Rav Henkin are the two who disagreed. And Ragachover had a whole different reason, it's a din of Pilegesh, a whole different sheet. The Rav Henkin really stands alone on this, because the Ragachover also stands alone, completely alone. So with respect to this nusach, on this line in the siddur, do you say, Mnei hayad shenishtalcha b'migdashecha, hayad hashlucha am present? Right now, the Arabs don't let us be makir karbanas. So he quotes from an earlier sefer that this really depends on the machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid, whether the Kedushas HaMikdash was batla at the time of Churban HaBayis. So according to the Ravid, the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash was the Ravid and the Ramban, the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash was batla at the time of the Churban. So then you can say Mnei Hayad Shenish Talcha BeMikdashech, because the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the Kedusha was cancelled. But if you all like the Rambam, the Kitchel Osilova, the Makom HaMikdash still retains its Kedusha. So you can't say because it was Chorev. So what if it's Chorev? You can make a Mizbech now. And we makriv kabbanis, makriv and afal pishen bais, because kitchel osi lovay. So according to the Rambam, the correct nusach should be m'nehayat hashlucha b'migdashecha. Right now, they don't let us be makriv kabbanis. That's what he quotes from an earlier sefer, that the two nuschos really depend on that machlekes. We always say, on Shabbos, and Yontif, and Rosh Chodesh, and Rosh Chodesh Cholias B'Shabbos, we always say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have played with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and give us an opportunity to offer Tminim Kisidram, Umasafim Kihilchasam. What does that mean? Tminim Kisidram, in the proper order, Tom Shashacha, Tom Shabbein Abayim, okay. Umasafim Kihilchasam. Why don't we just say, Tminim Umasafim Kisidram? What do you mean, Tminim? Why do you say, Tminim Kisidram, Umasafim Kihilchasam? So Shlomo Levilna has a famous comment in the Sefer Binyan Shlomo. He says that Tmidim we bring as it's described in the Chumash, Tam Tzachach in the morning, Tam Shal Ben Abayim in the afternoon. The Mosafim we do not follow the Torah Shebichzav. We follow the Torah Shebalpeh. Every time in Parshas Pinchas it describes the Mosafim, so it says first you bring some of the oilas, and then you bring Sir Echad Lachatos. We don't makrev it like that. First you bring the Chatos, then you bring the oil. So the Torah Shebalpeh tells us not to follow the Seder that appears in the Torah Shebichsav. So that's why with respect to the Musafim, we say, Tminim Kisidram, Umusafim Kihilchasam. We're going to bring the Musafim not according to the way it's described in the Chumash, we're going to bring it according to the Halacha, according to the Torah Shebalteh. Shinishtalcha. Okay, we have to check. You have to check, because a lot of times in the Seder Hatvil.
They say Hashlucha started with Rav
Chaim Dohan. Okay, don't know. Not familiar? Okay. The Seder HaTfilah and the Rambam is suspect, because a lot of time, you have to look in the Kisvei Yad, in the new editions now, because in the old Sifri HaRambam, the printer left out what the Rambam wrote, and he just put in what he wanted. We'll have to look. Okay, we'll have to check. Here there's also an issue. On Shabbos, he say also, Tminim Kisir Masaf in Golchosn. Shabbos, there is no Chatos. But nonetheless, that's what Rav Shlomo Levilna says, that you say Tminim Kisidim Masafim Kilchasam, not the way it's described in the Chumash. And Rosh Chodesh Chol is B'Shabbos, which was not the case this week. Rosh Chodesh was Sunday and Monday. So we recite the Psukim both for Shabbos and for Rosh Chodesh. And then they have in between of Yom HaShabbos Nechwas V'Nishonet Tmimim and Rosh HaShechem. So there's a line that's printed in parentheses. Zekar ben Shabbos v'kar ben hayom ka'amur. So as if the Rebbeinu Shlom couldn't figure it out, we have to help him out. We just mentioned Karban Shabbos, and now we're going to mention the Karban of Rosh Chodesh. So this is Sefer Pardes, written by one of the Talmidim of Rashi. Sefer Pardes, but they quote heavily from Rashi. Now Sefer Pardes, they quote that Rashi felt that this added line doesn't belong, and it was never there in the original Nusach. And it's not correct, it's not proper to say. The Rebbeinu Shlom is intelligent enough to figure out which Karban Musaf is for which day. That Yom HaShabbos Nechvasim is for Shabbos, Rosh HaShechem is for Rosh Chodesh. Again, when Rosh Chodesh is Choli is B'Shabbos, we say Ato Yatzarto, so the Orach HaShulchan writes that he thinks that there's a mistake in all of the Ashkenaz Sidurim. He thinks we should all follow the Nusach Sfard, but the Nusach Sfard that the Chassidim use doesn't have it either. He means the Nusach Eidot HaMizrach, that on a regular Shabbos, on a regular Yontif, we always say, L'keinu k'emeseinu, let's say on a regular Shabbos, you say, Ritzebim Nuchaseinu. Kadshenu b'mitzvah secha. On a Yontif, you don't say Ritzebim Nuchaseinu, but you do say the rest. Kadshenu b'mitzvah secha, v'senchan kenu b'sarah secha, sabinim t'vecha, and so on. So on a regular Shabbos and Yontif, you would say that. On Rosh Chodesh Chol Yis B'Shabbos, somehow this is missing. It just says, so the Orach HaShulchan thinks that it's simply a misprint. he thinks we should all follow the nusach of the Eidot HaMizrach, add the whole He thinks that it's simply a mistake that they left it out. The Gemara Chulin points out that in Parshas Pinchos, on all the Yamim Taifim, you bring a Korban Chatos, but the only time it says Chatos Lashem is the Soyer Rosh Chodesh. And it sounds as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs a Korban Chatos, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sinned, Kiva Yochel, as if that were possible, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sinned, and he has to bring a Haviwa like Kapara. That's how the Gemara has a Loshen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu requests of Bnei Yisrael, bring a Chatos Lashem, a Soy Lashem, Haviwa like Kapara, Al Shemiyatati Yisairech. The Poshe Pshat in the Pasuk is, we should bring a Chatos to Hashem, we should offer a Korban Chatos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it sounds, it gives you the impression as if it's a chatos l'Hashem. The Rebbe Shalom needs a kapara. He did some kind of a sin. So that's what the Gemara has a lashon. Haviu alai kapara al shemiyatiti es hayireach. What does it mean? So the Gemara has a whole agadata. Then in Parshas Bereishis, the Torah describes the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created shnei hamoros hagdolim, the two great luminaries, the sun and the moon. And then it says the very next phrase in the same pasuk is hamor hagodol. But it just says Shnei Amoros HaGadolim. What do you mean Amor HaGadol Amor HaKotl? So the Gemara says originally they were both created gigantic, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Maktin the Levon. So the Levon was going around complaining, what did I do, what aver did I do that I deserve to be punished? So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, I sinned, Havi Olai Kapor Al Shemiyatati Yisairech. So Rosh Chodesh is the monthly holiday when we celebrate the renewal of the moon. So we bring this korban for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So on the side of the Gemara, in the margin, it says, Yesh ba'agada zu sod, that there's some Kabbalistic kavana over here. What exactly is the Kabbalistic kavana? So Rav Soloveitchik wants to explain that when we recite Kiddush Levana, we recite the bracha that appears in the Gemara, and then somewhere along the line, someone composed a nusach hatfila. The Jews are worried about different things, so we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yishe b'malei de pegimus halvana. We're worried about anti-Semitism in Europe. We're worried about anti-Semitism in America, in Eretz Yisrael. They're worried about the Arabs, about the Palestinians, about Iran. Everybody's worried about different things. And the only thing we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should help us out is Shetimale Pigimus Alvana, Vili Yibosh Yomir, Vili Yor Alvana, Kyor Achama, Kyor Shivis Imei Bereshis. That's the only thing that we're worried about. Isn't that very strange? So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the term Pigimus Alvana is a technical term that refers to the problem of evil. That the Levana was complaining, why did God punish me? The Levana claims that she's a tzaddikus and she's a tzaddik v'ralo. So that's the problem of evil. How can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows such terrible things to happen in the world? We see tzaddik v'ralo, rosh v'tovlo. See, if you don't believe in God, so there's no kasha, everything is haphazard. If you believe God created the world, but he doesn't exercise any hashgacha pratis, so everything is haphazard. But if you believe in God and he does have hashgacha pratis, how can he allow such things to happen? So if you believe in more than one God, like the Greeks, like other Rabbi the Avodah Zarah. So there's a God of good and a God of evil, and each God has his own power. We believe in monotheism. There's only one God. He created the world, has power over the world, and he does know what's happening, so maybe he doesn't care. No, we believe that God is good. He's a Tov HaMeitim. So if there's only one God and he created the world, he's in full control, and he's a good God, how does he allow all of these terrible things to happen? That's a murderous kasha. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how the Gemara in Brochus interprets the Bakosha of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he says, Hodiyeni noz derechecha. He doesn't understand. The Gemara says he was asking, Tzadik v'ralo rosh v'tovlo. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him an answer that we don't understand what the answer is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'risa sachora yafane lo yiro. What does that mean? So about 150 years ago, some of the Gedolim came up with an interpretation that kol ma'adavid rachmana l'tavavid, even if things seem to be terrible, we believe that's really l'toiva. The perception right now is that something is a tragedy. But we're supposed to believe that it's really the Toiva. The Mishnah says, Kishim, Mishnah and Brocha says, Shem Shem Mevorcham Ala Toiva Kach Mevorcham Ala Ro. Just like you say Brocha when something wonderful happens, so too, when a tragedy occurs, you say Brocha as well. So the Gemara is bothered with the Kasha. What do you mean, Kishem Shem Mevorcham Kach Mevorcham? But it's a totally different Brocha. Here you say Atoiva Meitiv, and then you say Baruch Dayan HaEmes. If it's a tragedy, you don't say Atoiva Meitiv. Gemara says you're right. Since the perception is that this is a tragedy, so the Nusach HaBrocha should correspond to the perception, but the person is mechuyav to recite the Brocha B'Simcha. He should mekabel the Tzora B'Simcha. Why B'Simcha? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber, quotes from the Rabbeinu Yonah on the side of the Rif on that Gemara in the last Perek in Brochas, because we're supposed to believe Kol Da'ad Ovid Rachmana L'Tav Ovid, everything the Rabbeinu Shalom does is really the Toivah. So we're supposed to have emunah. The perception is that it's a tragedy, so the nusach should be baruch dayan ho'emes. But we're supposed to have emunah that it's really l'toyva. So that's what they interpret the pasuk for Isas ha'choyra yofane la'iro. After all of history will be unraveled, then we'll look back in retrospect. Isas ha'choyra will be able to see the way everything that seemed to have been a tragedy, all the terrible tragedies were really l'toyva. Ufanai, but looking in advance, we're looking from the perspective of the present, so it seems to be a tragedy. So that's what the Gemara says, Imsochem andafnun, andafmemtes, andafnun, bo'elam, as we sometimes recite the Brocha Hateva Meitim, and sometimes recite the Brocha and Dayin Ho'emes. And bo'elam abo, we'll always recite the Brocha Hateva Meitim. Means after all of history will be unfolded, we'll be able to look back in retrospect, so we'll, not only will we have the Amunah, that everything is l'toyva, the perception will be that everything is l'toyva. So we'll never have to say dayin ho'emes at all. So that's what we mean when we pray Takodesh Boche Shetimale the Gima Salvan of Liyabah Shulmiut. We're not praying about the moon. We couldn't care less about the moon. But this concept of Gima Salvana is a technical term that refers to this problem of evil. Takodesh Boche should somehow show us the way everything is really the Toiva. It shouldn't just be on a madrega of Emunah. We should be able to see it b'chush. That's how the Darshanim used to interpret the Medrash on the Pasuk. Ve'yara klim eskola sharasa v'hinei toiv miyoid. Every day it says, Ve'yara lakim ki toiv, Ve'yara lakim ki toiv. And then after the whole Bria was finished, Ve'yara klim eskola sharasa v'hinei toiv miyoid. What's toiv miyoid? So the Medrash has a comment, the toiv miyoid ze hamobis. How do you say Toiv Miyod Zeh HaMavis? Mavis is a tragedy. Why is that Toiv Miyod? So that's what the Darshanim used to say. Rav Soloveitchik used to say it over. When you look at everything in perspective, Alkim is Kol Asher Rasa. If you look at everything in the proper perspective, then even Mavis is also Toiv Miyod. Even the things that seem to be tragedies are really L'Toivah. So that's the Soid. That's what they say. That's the say that it says on the margin of the Gemara in Chulin that you should. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Chavi olai kapar al shemiyat tiyas hayrech." Baruch Shalom says, "I can't explain to you now. You won't understand it. I can't explain to you how come the tzaddik v'ralo rosh v'tovlo. From your perspective, it looks like a tragedy. The truth of the matter is that it's really the Toiv. It's hard even to believe it. Hard to believe that such." We face so many tragedies. How can it be that all of these things are really the Toiv? So we're supposed to have such emunah. In the beginning of Parshas Tazria, we have the din. If a woman is a yoledes, so she gives birth to a baby boy, she's tmeya 7 days. A baby girl, she's tmeya 14 days. And then there's yimei tohar. Our tradition in the Mishnah has it that the Psukim say that 33 days he made Torah for a baby boy, and 66 days he made Torah for a baby girl. So our tradition has it, he made Torah means, even if the woman has a Riyas Dam in the 33 days or the 66 days, she's still going to be Torah. That's called Dam Torah. The Rambam quotes the Karoyim had an opposite interpretation on the Pasuk, that even if the Chumrah, Yimei Tohar means even Aldmei Toharah. Teshe means she's Asur Labaila. Usually, if a woman has a Riyas Dam that's not reddish, it's not Odom, so it's not Metame, it's not does Nasa Labaila. If it's yellow or brown or something, that's Damayorik, means yellow or brown, so it's not does Nasa Labaila. So the Tzedukim and the Karoim interpreted the Pasuk not according to the tradition. Teshev in Mei Tohara means that she's Asur Labaila, she's Temeya, even if she has Dam with Amara Torah. So we don't follow that, of course. We follow the Masar with the Torah Shabbat Peh, that it means the reverse. We have in Shulchan Aruch a Minig, and the Raman quotes two Minhagim about this, but the accepted Minig is that now that we have the Chumra B'nai Sisur Lachmir Al-Atzman, that we're always machmar on everything, that a woman needs shiv and ikim, so even if she has dam during yemei tohar, we're also machmar on that. That she, woman is asur al baila. But it's not because we follow the karaim, because we have a chumra, a minig, b'nai sisalach meira al atzman. And that's why many communities didn't want to extend the minig of b'nai sisalach meira al atzman to dam tohar, because that smacks from apikursus, because that's how the karaim interpreted the pshat in the pasuk. So the Mishnah says that this din, that the woman has yimei tohar and yimei tumah and has to bring the karbanis, this is only if she has a regular birth, she has a normal delivery. If she has a yotzei doifen, that's the name of a perik and maseches nida, perik yotzei doifen. If the woman has a cesarean and her body didn't push out the baby derech harechem the normal way, the doctor took out the baby, or even if he took it out derech harechem, but it wasn't pushed out by the natural forces of the body, that's called Yotzei Dofen. So you don't have Yimei Tumah and Yimei Tahara, and she's not Chayevus to bring the Korban Yoledus. In the Mishnayis, it's a Machloikus HaTana in Perek Yotzei Dofen. That's how we paskin. You don't have Tumah V'Tahara, you don't have the Chi of Korban. Then the Pasuk says, after the 7 days of Yimei Tumah by a baby boy, V'yom HaShmini Yimol B'Sar Olosa, the Bris Milah should take place on the 8th day. So the Gemara in Masechus Shabbos has 24 prokim in Mishnayis Masechus Shabbos. And so one perik is dedicated to the dinim of Bris Mila on Shabbos, Bris Mila in general, perik HaBlezer de Mila. So in the beginning of that perik, the Gemara has a Machloikis Amaraim. Are these two connected? Do you say that the only time there's a din of Yom HaShmini by a baby boy, that the Mila has to be Dapke B'Shmini, not before, not after, and therefore it's a Doiches Shabbos? If it's a Mila Bizman, it's Decha Shabbos. Not a Mila Bizman, it's not Decha Shabbos. If you need Shmini, then it's Decha Shabbos, if Shabbos is the Yom HaShmini. So that's a Machlekes in the Gemara. What if the woman had a Yotzei Dofen? So there's no din of Tumah V'Tahara, there's no din of Korban Yoledes. What about the Yom HaShmini Yimo B'Sar Alosa? Do you say, Kol She'enim B'Tamei Aleida, Eina Nimo L'Shmaina, there's no din of Shmini? Or no, the Pasuk Gimel is unrelated to the rest of the Parsha. So the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's a Sveika Dedina, so therefore we're not allowed to do it. So according to one opinion, well, let's say a woman has a cesarean delivery on a Monday morning, so you do the bris that day. You don't have to wait till next Monday. You can do the Nimo Miyad. So Misafik, we don't do that. We wait till a week later. Maybe you do need Shmini. But if the cesarean delivery was on Shabbos, then we wouldn't permit the bris milah to take place on next Shabbos, because maybe there's no din of Shmini. So you have to wait till Sunday. You can't do it on Friday, because maybe there is a din of Shmini. So you're not supposed to do the milah toch zmanoi.
Could you do the milah now and do it on top of some bris later? Both
you can do that, but more correct would be maybe there is a din of Shmini. So it's not correct to do the bris milah earlier. Yeah, there is a machlekes harishainim, the Mishnah, both in Perek HaBlezer de Mila, as well as Maseches Erechin, the Mishnah has a din that Mila Bizmana is Decha Shabbos Decha Yontif, only if it's a Vada Mila Bizmana. What if it's a Sofek, if it's a Mila Bizmana, so then it's not Decha Shabbos. Yontif doesn't say explicitly. Yontif, the Rishainim say, that if it's a Sofek Mila Bizmana, so then it's not dechiyad. What's an example of sofek? So we have a sofek, a sveke de dina machlekes, these amaroim, whether kol she'enim with tmei oleda, if you have a cesarean delivery, that's a sveke de dina. Whether it's a dina of Yom HaShmini. The Mishnah has a simple case of sofek. Baby was born, bein hashmashes, where the child was born, bein hashmashes, let's say, on Friday evening, going into Shabbos. So it's a sofek, is the Mila Bizman on Friday, is the Mila Bizman on Shabbos? Or the baby was born, let's say, Ben HaShemashis of Matzoi Shabbos, going into Sunday. So whenever there's a suffix of Ben HaShemashis, you're not allowed to do the Bris Mila on Shabbos. What about Yontif? So the Rishayim on the Shulchan Aruch says like that. The Yontif is also the same thing. The Mila Bizman is only Deicha Yontif. It's a Vada. If it's a suffix, it's not Deicha Yontif. Rabbi Tzale Panevezer, in his Sefer Zecha Yitzchok, takes on all the Rishonim. He thinks we shouldn't follow that shita. He says, on Yontif, there's not only a heter milo bismanas decha Shabbos, there's a heter achal nefesh. And we say, any malacha that's muta l'tzorach achal nefesh, mitoch shuta l'tzorach achal nefesh, shuta nami, l'tzorach ayong tzas. So this is tzorach ayong tzas also. Let's say, I think that maybe guests will come. If the guests will come, I won't have any cookies to serve them. So misofik, I think maybe guests will come. So I'm allowed to bake cookies on Shavuos, because the guests may come. Misofik. If there's a Sofik Tzarech, it's also called Tzarech Hayom Ktsas. So if there's a Sofik, whether today's the Mila B'zman or not, the baby was born Bein HaShemash this last week, and on Yontif, it's a Sofik, whether this is a Mila B'zman. If I wait till after Yontif, sure it's going to be Mila Shlo B'zman. So if it's a Tosa, if it's for sure not Toich HaZman, the Tosa is, should I have done the Bris Mila on Erev Yontif? Should I do it on Yontif? So you don't do the Bris on Erev Yontif, Misofik, it's a Mila Toch Shmeinah. So do the bris on Yontif. He's prepared to take on all the Rishonim. You should be permitted to do a bris milah when it's a Sofik bismana on Yontif Rishonim, because of the fact that it's Tzorach Hayom Ktsas.
It's like less of mine. It's like
Tzorach Mitzvah.
Tzorach Mitzvah. So
okay.
Isn't that like bringing a carbon that you're not supposed to?
No, that's Lachem Velo Lagavoya. No. But let's say you carry a tinuk lamuloi and say fatara likris boy and a lulav lotzis boy. So the Mishnah quotes the machlokes b'sham and b'sil. So b'sham say only achal nefesh is muta, and b'sil paskin not only mitoch shuchu the tzarach achal nefesh, but you're not mila tzarach hayom ktsas.
Tzarach hayom. Tzarach hayom. That's for the yontif. Maybe something has nothing to do with the yontif, the
mila. No, no. Let's say I want to learn a sefer. I'm learning yivamis. So on Shavuos I want to carry a yivamis to the park and learn in the park. So that's okay. Called Tzarech Hayom Ktsas. Yivamis is not nothing. Yeah, whatever. I want to do a mitzvah. So if it's a Sofik, it's also a Sofik. Tzarech is also called the Tzarech Hayom Ktsas. So that's his time. But we haven't accepted his opinion yet. Yeah.
Didn't the Mishnah say that on Rosh Hashanah you can't do a bris? Doesn't the Mishnah say that sometimes you'll have a bris? I thought you'll have a bris on the 12th day because...
Right. The Mishnah has like this. If Rosh Hashanah falls out... By us, it never happens. Rosh Hashanah falls out on Sunday and Monday, 2 days Rosh Hashanah. By us, it can never happen. Lo yadu Rosh. But the Mishnah has Bizman HaTanoim that they did Kiddush HaChedush HaPi Ariyah, so it was possible. So the Mishnah says if the baby was born Bein HaShmashis, of Friday night going into Shabbos, so next week is Shabbos, so you're not allowed to do the Bris Mila Shabbos because maybe it was really a Mila Bizmana for Friday. And Shabbos is Shaloi Bizmano. So then can I do, so it's not Decha Shabbos, can I do the bris tomorrow? So tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah? No, because it's a Vadai Milo Shaloi Bizmano. It's a Vadai Milo Shaloi Bizmano. Because the Zman was either Friday or Shabbos. Then the Mishnah says, can I do the bris Milo on Monday? Also not, because Yontem Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, also you're not allowed to do a Milo Shaloi Bizmano.
Why should there be a difference between a Safik Milo Shaloi Bizmano and a Vadai Milo Shaloi Bizmano?
No, a vaday milu shelo bizmano, that's not called tzarach hayom. Like the Gemara in the beginning of Pesachim says, the Gemara is working on the pasuk, ach b'yom rishon tashbisa sar mipatechem. So the simple pshat is, you should burn the chametz on the first day Pesach. So Rabbi Akiva says, how can you burn the chametz on the first day Pesach? It's an isa malocha. So the pasuk must mean, b'yom rishon means erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, shmam and amid the Rabbi Akiva tlas. Why can't it mean that you burn the chametz on the first day Pesach and there's no isim malacha? Because mitoch shuhutra avora l'tzorach achal nefesh, uchunami the tzorach hayom ktsas. It's a tzorach hayom to fulfill a mitzvah of ach b'yom rishon tashbisu. So the Gemara says shma mino, the Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree with the Beis Hillel. He holds that Beis Hillel never said that. There is no din of mitoch shuhutra l'tzorach achal nefesh uchunami shelo l'tzorach achal nefesh. We paskin there is a din of mitoch, and nonetheless we paskin. If I didn't burn the chametz, we paskin b'yom rishon means erev Pesach. But if I didn't burn the chametz on erev Pesach, then you're not allowed to burn the chametz on Yontif. You have to wait till Chalamay to burn it. Why can't you burn it on Yontif? The answer is that's not tzarach hayom. It's not a tzarach hayom. If the din would have been b'yom rishon tashbisu, you're supposed to burn the chametz on the first day Pesach, that would be tzarach hayom. That's mitzvah hayom. But if the mitzvah should have, it was really yesterday's mitzvah. The mitzvah of burning chametz should have really been fulfilled. And Erev Pesach, and I was lazy, I didn't fulfill it. So now it's up to Tashlumen. I'm burning the Chomet Shaloi Bizmanoi. So that Taisus explains in the Gemara. That's not called the Tzorach Hayom. That's the Tzorach of Esmo. So if you have a sofek milu bismana, sofek milu shaloi bismana, maybe it's a milu bismana, so that should be a tzarach hayam ktsas. But if I know for sure it's a milu shaloi bismana, then everybody's masking that it's not derech yantav. The shaila is, the Mishnah just says, if it's a vada milu shaloi bismana, not only is it not derech Rosh Hashanah, which is on Sunday, it's not even derech the second day Rosh Hashanah, which is on Monday. So what would be the din if it would be the second day Pesach, the second day Shavuot, the second day Sukkot? Mishnah doesn't say. All the Mishnahs were written in Eretz Yisrael. So there is no Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. There's only Yantav Sheni of Rosh Hashanah. Second day Rosh Hashanah is even in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a machlek, is the Rambam and the Rosh. Should I assume that the Mishnah was written in Eretz Yisrael, so it only writes about the second day Rosh Hashanah? But who had the Nami? The same din applies to the Yantav Sheni Shal Golias with respect to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, that if you have a Vaday Milu Shalai Bizmano, it's not the Yantav Sheni Shal Golias either. Or should I say no, that it's only second day Rosh Hashanah, because that's Medina. Second day Rosh Hashanah is Kedusha Achas, what Rashi calls Yom Arichta, and the second day Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, that would be Deicha. Even a Milu Shalai Bizmano would also be Deicha. So that's a Machloikis of Rishonim, and our practice is that we're Machmer. Many poskim say, the Shach says not so. Shach says we should follow the Rambam, that the Milu Shalai Bizmano is Deicha the second day, but we don't follow that Shach. We follow the Rosh, that the Yantav Sheni Shal Golias also, if it's a Vaday Milu Shalai Bizmano, see, we don't do it on Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. The Shaila is, what if it's a Sofik Milo Shaloi Bizmana, Milo Bizmana, and it's Yantav Sheni Shal Golias? Let's say there was a cesarean delivery exactly a week before the second day Yantav. When is Shavuos this year? Sunday, Monday?
Yes.
So let's say there was a cesarean delivery a week before on Monday. Or the baby was born, Bein Hashmashes, the week before between Sunday and Monday. So you can't do the bris on the first day, Shavuos, maybe it's Toch Zmanai. Bein Hashmashes between Sunday and Monday is a suffix, whether the Milu Bizmana is next week, Sunday or Monday. But for sure you can do the bris on Monday, but your Monday is Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. So it's not a Vaday Milu Shalai Bizmana, it's a suffix Milu Bizmana, Milu Shalai Bizmana. So we don't follow Rabbi Tzila Ponevizhim and the Zecha Yitzhak, that he holds whenever you have a suffix Milu Bizmana, Milu Shalai Bizmana, it should be Dechi Yantav Rishon. We don't hold like that. We hold the. But what the Shad is, what about Yantav Sheni? What if you have a baby who was born Bein Hashmash is going from Sunday to Monday, a week before Shavuos, and then at Yantav Sheni Shal Golias, it's a Svek Sveke. It's a Svek Sveke. Maybe the din is like the Rambam, that you're permitted to do a Milu Shalai Bizmana on Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. And secondly, maybe it is a Milu Bizmana. Maybe Bein Hashmash, maybe it is a Milu Bizmana. Or if it's a cesarean delivery on Monday, a week before. So that's a Sveke the din because of the Machlokes. So that's what the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Nadi Yehuda, that if it's a Svek Sveke, either the baby was born Bein Hashmashes in between Sunday and Monday, or the baby was delivered, cesarean delivery on Monday, a week before, so then you have a Svek Sveke. And maybe even if it's a Milu Shalai Bizmana, is Dechei Yantav Sheni, and maybe it is a Milu Bizmana, maybe a Yotze Daifin is Nima Lishmaina, and maybe the Bein Hashmashes is like tomorrow. So in that case, we would paskin that you do the bris. The Pischei Tshuva quotes the Nadi Yehuda and Nachsam Sofer that you would do the bris on Yantav Sheni Shal Golias in such a case. Shaila is, what if the second day would be, what if it would be Rosh Hashanah? Let's say you have 2 days Rosh Hashanah and there was a cesarean delivery a week before the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah, that's the Mishnah says that a Milu Shalai Bizmana is not Deche Rosh Hashanah. So what would you say in such a case? So you don't have the Svek Sveke anymore. If it's second day Rosh Hashanah, you don't have a Svek Sveke, because the whole Machlek is the Ramam and the Rosh, where the Milu Shalai Bizmana is Deicha Yantav Sheni, is only on every other Yantav Sheni. On Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah, is the Feirish that you're not permitted to do a Milu Shalai Bizmana. What do you do if it's a Suffolk Milu Bizmana, Milu Shalai Bizmana? Would you permit that a Yantav Sheni Shal Goli? So that's a Chasam Sefer, wants to be Mitzadid Lahokel on that. That's the shiur that Rabbaron Kotler gave. He once gave a shiur in Lakewood, and he felt, in the middle of the shiur, he disagreed. He shlugged up Achsam Sofer. And then he used to give the shiur always on Shabbos afternoon, because the whole week long he was in New York. He was busy raising money for Chinuch Atzmai and for Lakewood Yeshiva. It was only in Lakewood on Shabbos. He used to give the shiur on Shabbos afternoon. So then he went to Shalosh Udas, and by accident then he cut his finger. When he was cutting the challah, he cut his finger. So he took it as an oinish, for being such, for delivering such a chuspidik presentation against the Chassam Sofer, that he says he has enough an arayah from a Gemara Chulin against the Chassam Sofer. So he thought the arayah was good, but he felt it was a little too chutzpahdik the way he presented it. When they printed it, they wrote it up exactly the way he said it. He has enough an arayah against the Chassam Sofer. Anyway, that's the beginning of Parshas Tazria. All the dinim of Mila. Whenever you have two Parshas, Tazria and Tzaira, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes, the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch quote from the Haggadah Maimonides, that you should try to divide the Aliyahs evenly between the two Parshas. You shouldn't give more cover to one Parsha than to the other Parsha. So there's a Machlekes Achreinim, what does that mean? So most Achreinim assume that it goes on the Zayin Kruim, the first seven Aliyahs should be divided equally. How do you divide seven equally? 3.5 and 3.5. So we're always mechaber the two aliyahs with Revi. You're laying 3.5 aliyahs in the first parsha, and then Revi starts the second parsha. So you have 3.5 of the Zayin Kruim in the second parsha. Then if you want to make Kaisophis, you can make all you want in the second parsha. And the Taz quotes the Levush and rejects it. The Levush is of the opinion that you have to make up your mind in advance how many aliyahs you plan to give. So if they plan to give 3 Hoysafas, 10 aliyahs, they should divide it 5 and 5. If they plan to give 14 aliyahs, they should divide it 7 and 7. Shouldn't be only, you should make them equal on the Zayin Kruim, on the basic Zayin Kruim. You should make them equal, making up your mind in advance how many aliyahs you're going to have. So you have to make up your mind whether you're going to go like this or go like that. So the Taz rejects the Levush and he says the Minhag HaOlam is like that. That we're always mechaber with Revi, and then you make as many Hosafas as you want in the second Sedra. Rav Soloveitchik said that his father had a suggestion, that his father had a practice, and he recommended other people should do it as well, that when you have Shabbos where you're laying 2 Sedras, you shouldn't make any Hosafas. So you won't get involved in the Machlokes Achreinim. It's not a good idea. You're laying 2 Sedras, so the Kriyas HaTorah is going to be twice as long, so why do you have to make more Hosafas? Atichad Tzibur, that they should listen to more. But he didn't say that wasn't the reason why he suggested it. He suggested it because of this machlekes achreinim, to try to be yotze yidei kol hashitas. The Mishnah increases, and the second parak increases. Says, let's say my wife gave birth to 9 babies. So when the Beis HaMikdash will, if the Beis HaMikdash will be built today, possibility, Beis HaMikdash will be built today, so my wife will be mechuyev to bring 9 sets of korbanos. If you have twins, so you're not mechuyev to bring 2. If you have twins, triplets, so you only have to bring 1 korban for the set of children. But if you had 9 different pregnancies, you're mechuyev to bring 9 sets of korbanos. So the Mishnah says, a Yoledes is one of the Tmeim who is labeled as a Mechusar Kippurim. That's the name of a Perikin. That's the second Perikin Krisis. Abba Mechusar Kippurim. There are 4 people who are Tomei, who go to Mikveh and have Harav Shemesh, and they're still considered Tomei with respect to entering the Beis HaMikdosh or eating Karbonus, a Makrav Zan Karbonus, namely the Mechusar Kippurim, the Zab, the Zava, Yoledes, and Metzorah. So these 4 people, even after going to Mikveh, even after having Harav Shemesh, when they go to mikveh tovel v'yolah, they're permitted to eat ma'aseh sheni. Even though you're not allowed to eat lo bi'atim imena b'tomi, you're not permitted to consume ma'aseh sheni in the state of tumah. But once you go to mikveh, you're tohor. But if you want to eat truma, you have to have harav shemesh. Harav shimsha, echol b'truma. And then hevi kaparasai, that's the first daf in brachas, then Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Egoyim. Hevi kaparasai, then he's permitted to eat kochim also. He's permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash and to eat kochim. So that's called arbo mechusri kapara. The Korban Mechusi Kippurim is Goymer the Tahara. The Gemara gives a mashal, just like a person goes to the mikveh. Let's say a person touched a dead sheretz. A person touched 10 different shvatzim. And he became Tomei 10 days in a row. He touched a dead sheretz 10 days in a row. He went to a funeral 10 days in a row. He went to a funeral. So how many times does he have to go to the mikveh? He goes to the mikveh once and he becomes Tahara. Well, let's say he attended 10 different funerals. How many times does he have to have Hazor Shlishi Shvi? Once you have Hazor Shlishi Shvi with the Poraduma water, and then you go to the mikveh, you become Tohar. I don't care how many times you became tummy. Bottom line, you're tummy. It's one degree of tumah. So you go to the mikveh once and everything, all the tumah is removed. So the Mishnah says that if a woman had 9 babies, and then she comes to the Beis HaMikdash, she's obligated to bring 9 sets of the karbanas. Once she brings the first set of karbanas, just like if a person became tummy 10 times, he goes to mikveh once and he's tahar. He doesn't have to be toivel, he doesn't have to dip in the mikveh 10 times. So once the oledes brings the first set of karbanas, she's b'chiv to bring the other 8 sets of karbanas, that's a mitzvah, but she's no longer tmeya with the tumah of mechusa kippur. She's permitted to eat karbanas, just like when she goes, the Gemara's mashal, just like when you go to mikveh, after having become tummy many times, you go to mikveh once, it's mentar. So bringing the karbanas is in a certain sense a metahir. So the Gemara has in Nidorim, Daf Lamed and Heimen Beis, the Gemara has another nafkamina based on this. Hakol tzrich mdas chutz mimchusri kippurim. Whenever a person brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdosh, let's say he wants to become a shutef in a korban Pesach, or he took a neder harei alai lohavi oilo, harei alai lohavi shlamim, or he was mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, he ate chel v'dam b'shogeg, he has to bring a korban chatos. So hakol tzrich mdas. You have to have das habaylim, das ha'odom, both when the korban is hugdash on my behalf and when the korban is being offered on my behalf. The Gemara has a discussion in Erechin, the Gemara has a discussion, maybe you can sometimes apply the principle of Zochon Li'odom Shloi Befonov. Maybe someone has a right to be magdish korban on my behalf without consulting me, and then send them a letter from the Beis HaMikdash, a korban has been hugdash on your behalf. And maybe if I was magdish the korban on my own, and my neighbors see that it was magdish and I'm supposed to bring it, so maybe it's an act of Zochon Li'odom Shloi Befonov, they should be makriv on my behalf, and then they'll send me an email, they'll send me a letter, your korban has been offered on your behalf. So that's a whole discussion in Amoraim. When should you apply, what's the it's a psychological discussion, when do you have the right to apply the rule of Zochon Li'odom Shloi Befonov? To be magdish on my behalf, it's self-understood that I would be thrilled about that, or to be makriv, but I already was magdish. But leaving out the exception to the rule that you can apply Zochon Li'odom Shloi Befonov, the rule is Hakol Tzrichim Das. You need Das Balakar in both Bishas Hagdosha, Hafrosha, as well as Bishas Hakrova. So the Gemara says, what if a little child became a Zav Zava Yoledes? Yoledes can't be. A Zav Zava or a Mitzorah, and then they become Tohar. And then you want to bring the Karbonis on their behalf. Or let's say a man is married to a woman, and she's a Shota. She's crazy. A Chareshes. She can't be a Ktana. She gives birth to a baby, she can't be a ktana. Let's say there's a woman is Yoledes, so she can't be a ktana, but she can be a chareshes or a shoito, and he wants his wife to become tahora. He wants to take her to eat the korbanah, so he wants to take her into the Beis HaMikdosh. So he'll have it be toivel in the mikveh, fine, but you have to bring heavy kaparasa. The abo mechusir kapara have to bring the korban in order to complete the tahara process. So the Gemara says, you can bring a korban mechusi kippurim on behalf of a cherishoit of a cotton because it doesn't need das. Just like to be tovel in the mikveh doesn't need das hodom. When a person is tovel in the mikveh, he becomes tohar. Even if he's a labar das, even if he fell into the mikveh, you don't need kavanah min haTorah, for sure not. And the Rabbanan, the Gemara has a whole machlokes in the second parak in Chulin, whether if you fell into the mikveh, whether you become tohar or not. That's chumris min the Rabbanan, but min haTorah, for sure you don't need kavanah. So the Gemara says the korban mechusa kippurim also is an exception to the rule. You don't really need das habayim. So the korban of the yoledes is like the korban the zav zav yoledes and mitzvah is really a korban mechusa kippurim. The different types of different levels of tumah. There's tumas mago. Someone else's tummy and I touch him, or there's a mace in the room and I become tummy tumas ohel. Maga, Masa, Ohel, and then there's Tumah Hayotza El Megufa. The Tumah originates by me. Zav Zavah, Yoledes, and Mitzorah, the Tumah originates by me. The Tumah Hayotza El Megufa is considered Mochomer than the Tumas Maga. With respect to what is it Mochomer? So the Bali HaTosfos interpret, the Rambam does not agree with this, the Bali HaTosfos interpret the Mishnah in Psochim as saying that a korban tzibur is korev in a state of tumah. If the roiv tzibur is tumah, so that's only if the roiv tzibur has a tumas mago. But if the Rebbe Atziba has a tumah hayotza ala migufay, then you don't say tumah is muta betziba. You don't say tumah hutra betziba. You don't say tumah duchay betziba. Only on tumah smaga, not on tumah sriya, not on tumah hayotza ala migufay. Yeah, what else? That's on the level of the Raisa. That's how Tosis interprets the Mishnah Psochim. What else on the level of the Raisa? So the Gemara in Psochim points out that in the Parsha of Shiluach Tmeim, Mira Machne, that's in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Noso. So the, is it in Parshas Noso?
First parak in Noso. Samach Zion in Psochim.
So the word Machne appears three times. And it mentions three different tameim. It mentions Bishach Manamecha called Tzuro B'Chalzavecha Tomei Lo Nofesh. So the Gemara says the three levels of tuma corresponding to the three different machnas. You have machna Shechina, that's the Azara, then you have machna Levias, the Harabais, then you have all of Yerushalayim, corresponds to machna Yisrael. So the Tomei Lo Nofesh is a Tumas Mago. The tuma didn't originate in his body. Someone else died, he's Tomei. And I come in contact with him. So the Tomei Meis is only Tumas Mago, so he's only also b'machna Shechina. I mean, Atar is Muta b'machna Levia. We learned the Tosis in the first Perek in Yevamos, but Tosis quotes the Mishnah in the first Perek in Kelim, that the Rabbanon, the Tomei Meis is not allowed to enter the inner parts of the Harabais. That's the Rabbanon. Atar is Muta b'harabais. And then you have the next Tomei, is Zav. Zav represents all the Tumah Hayotza l'Megufa. Zav Zav and Nidu Yoledis and Mitzorim. Balkeri is a question in Tanoim, whether Balkeri is also a Tumah Yotza L'Migufoy or it's a Tumah Smaga. So whoever has a Tumah Yotza L'Migufoy is not only also to enter into Machna Shechina, into the Azor, is also Menator to enter into the Machna Leviya as well. And then the highest level of Tumah is called Tzuro B'Chalzav B'Chatomil HaNafesh. The Tzorua, the Mitzorah, is also Tumah Yotza L'Migufoy, but it's considered Mochomer. Then the Tumah of the Zav, not only is he also a Machna Levi, he's also even a Machna Israel. He's even also in Ayoras HaMakofas Choyma, Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun. That's a Mishnah in Kalim, first Perek in Kalim. Mitzor is not permitted to enter any of the Ayoras HaMakofas Choyma, Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun. Yeah. That's a Machlaikis HaRishonim. Lo Yovel Tocha Machna. If a person whose tummy enters a Machna where he's not allowed to enter, so he violated the lav, and the Gemara says he gets malchus. So that's a machlekes harishonim. If the mitzora enters ayoras hamakofes chayma, does he get malchus on that? Maybe I should say lo yovel tochan machne. Maybe only Yerushalayim has the din of machne Israel. Ayoras hamakofes chayma. Maybe it's only an essay vishalchem min hamachne. Maybe there's no lois essay. Maybe you don't really treat all ayoras hamakofes chayma as if they have mamish kedushas Yerushalayim. If they really have the Machna Yisrael. So that's a Machlaikis HaRishonim. To what extent do you equate all the Ayaris HaMakafis Chayma to Yerushalayim? And Eben HaMenuga, it says in Chumash, and Eben HaMenuga, it says you have to take it out Michutz Lo'ir. So it doesn't say Ayaris HaMakafis Chayma. So the Rasha Mishnayis Negoim points out from a Tosefta, and Eben HaMenuga has to be removed from all Ayaris at Beretz Yisrael. There are Yoros Hamakov, and Mishnah and Kalim has Eser Kedushas Hain, 10 levels of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Eretz HaMekadesh is Nikol HaRotzes, then Yoros Hamakov is Chayma, have a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Then Yerushalayim has a higher level, and we jumped from Eretz Yisrael, Yoros Hamakov is Chayma, Yerushalayim, we didn't mention anything in between. So the Rash, Mishnayis Negoim, quotes a Tosefta that there's something in between all other Yoros. Don't have the same level of Kedusha as Ayaris HaMakafis Chayma Yisrael Ben Nun, but they have a higher level of Kedusha than the farms. With respect to what? Eben HaMenugas. And Eben HaMenugas, you have to remove from all Ari Yisrael. Not only Ayaris HaMakafis Chayma, even all Ari Yisrael. Sachidush that Ari Yisrael have a higher level of Kedusha than the farms. Rav Soloveitchik once said from his father, Psad Achidush, that the Mishnah says that Bizman had the bummers, it was permissible to bring carbonas that were in the Dorim and the Dovis. You can make a bummer wherever you want in Eretz Yisrael. Michilta says there was no het bummers in Chutz Lorenz. The het bummers was only in Eretz Yisrael. So it says that Kachim Kam Nachol and Michol Ore Yisrael. So the Pasha Pshat is a Mishnah in the end of Zvachim. So the Pasha Pshat, Bizman had the bummers, you can eat Kachim Kalim, any Shlomim. Anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but the Mishnah doesn't say that. It says B'chol Ori Yisrael. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought that it's to be taken literally, only B'chol Ari Yisrael. So that's problematic. So why doesn't the Mishnah in Esek Kedushas, the Mishnah in the first parak in Kelim, when it lists up the 10 levels of Kedushas HaMikdosh, all of Eretz Yisrael has a lower level of Kedushas HaMikdosh, and Ayoros HaMikav Eschaim have a slightly higher level, then you jump right away to Yerushalayim. Why doesn't it have in between? You should say, all of Eretz has one level of Kedusha, Ayoros have another level of Kedusha, Ayoros HaMikav Eschaim have a higher level of Kedusha. The Mishnah didn't mention that Ayoros, all the Ayoros have a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It's a chiddush to say like that. But the Rush quotes it from the Tosefta anyway. Before our Moshe Soloveitchik, the Tosefta says, when you give the Eben HaMenugas, that you have to remove the Eben HaMenugas from all Ayorish of Eretz Yisrael, not only Ayorish HaMenugas Yisrael. The Rambam points out a chiddush, that we treat the Mitzoyra as a Tumah HaYotza all of Migufa, despite the fact that the Tumah doesn't happen automatically. If you don't have a kohen, let's say a person, Mizman Hazed, develops a neged tzaras. If he doesn't go to a kohen, the kohen doesn't declare that he's tameh, he remains tohar for the rest of his life. All the other tumas, if a person attends a funeral, he becomes tameh by coming in contact with the mace, or a person touches a dead sheretz, or everything else, a woman becomes a nida, a lettuce, everything else happens automatically. Whenever you have the conditions met, the person becomes tameh. And by the mitzvah, both to become tameh and to become tohar, you have to have a kohen declare you as tohar. You have to have a kohen declare you as tohar. Kozman the kohen doesn't declare you're not tohar. So it's very surprising. The Rambam points it out. Despite the fact that you need a psak of a kohen to make him into a tohar, it's still considered a tumah hiyotza ala migufa. It's a big chiddush. Yeah, we have dinim midirabbanan where we distinguish between tumah hiyotza ala migufa as opposed to tumas mago. The Gemara says chalas chutz la oretz. Truma in Eretz Yisrael and Chala in Eretz Yisrael, same din as Truma, may not be eaten betuma, whether the Truma is Tameo or the Kohen who wants to eat it is Tameo. It doesn't matter what level of Tuma. If the one who wants to eat it has a Tumas Meis, or he has a Tuma Yotz on the Begufa, it doesn't matter. But Chala Schutz Loretz, the Gemara says, is only Osir to be eaten by Misha Tuma Yotz on the Begufa. If the Chala Schutz Loretz became Tameo, that's is Tumas Mago. So then if the Kohen went to the mikveh and he's not a balkeri, so then he's permitted to eat the chalas chutz loretz. The Shach in Yeruvah in Hilchas Chala quotes the Maharil, that by Ashkenazim, Maharil writes all the minhagim for the Ashkenazim. Maharil lived in Germany. So the Maharil writes that the minhag is that by Ashkenazim, the Kohanim do not eat chalas chutz loretz, period, even though they go to the mikveh and they can remove the tumas balkeri, tumah yotz al megufa al balkeri. Because he gives a reason why the minhag is we don't, because for so many years we have been violating the din. The din min haTorah is that if a person comes and he says, I am a kohen, so we believe him. And the Rabbanan, the Gemara has in the second parak in Ksubas, a person comes and he declares that he is a kohen, so you're supposed to be machmer not to believe him. You should have someone else. Luchum, you should have someone else identify him. The same thing for chalitza. Let's say, the woman's husband died in Zurich. There was a case a couple of years ago. The husband committed suicide, and they were embarrassed. The husband committed suicide because the wife had finished college, and the wife was so intelligent, so bright. She was far advanced past the husband, and he couldn't take it, so he committed suicide. So, and they had no children. They were just married a year or so. So I don't know why, they were embarrassed to have the chalitza done there in Zurich, so they went to London. So they had to go demonstrate, they had to go prove that this is the Yavam and this is the Yavama. The din is here. So min haTorah, a man comes and he says, I am the Yavam, and she says, I'm the Yavama. So then they're on him on their own, like a man wants to give a get to his wife. Min haTorah, a man comes and he says, I'm a kohen. So you believe him. And mid the Rabbanon, there's a chumrah, you always need hakorim and piacherim. The Mishnah says in Gittin, the Mishnah towards the end of Gittin, Misha hayo mushlach babor, in the days of the Tanoim, the Romans would put Jews in dungeons, non-Jews also, they would put them in prisons, and they would let them rot away, they would drop dead in the prison from starvation. So the man didn't want his wife to be remain in Aguna, so he would scream out, my name is so-and-so, and I live in such and such a village, my wife's name is so-and-so, do me a favor, call Hashemeh's koili, do me a favor, write a get and give it. I'm appointing whoever hears me. I appoint them as the shlich to give a get to my wife. So the Gemara says, "I, but you have a chumrim mid rabban, and you have to have hakorim pi achirim." We don't know who. We don't know that that's the man. So the Gemara says, "Bishas hashakana." We revert back to the ikedin. Ikedin deraisa that is neman al atzmo. Bishas hashakana kaisvim. You write the get and you give the get al pi hakoras atzmo. So the same is by truma, eating truma. In a Torah, a man comes and he says, I am a Kohen and I want to eat truma, so you believe him. In the Rabbana, there's a chumra, he should bring someone else. By chalitza, that's always, the Gemara says, on lamites on the base, and Yibam, there's a machlokes amoraim, how much hakorim and piachem do you need? Do you need two witnesses to testify that this is the Yavam and this is the Yavam, or is it sufficient with eid echot? So we paskin that it's sufficient with eid echot, because in a Torah, you don't need any hakorim and piachem. So the whole chumrah, the whole thing is only chumrah and derabbanan. So it's enough if you have eid echad to identify. If it's a big shas hadchak, then you can be mekel to revert back to the din deraisa. So the Shach quotes this Maharil that by Ashkenazim there were so many pogroms and they ran away so many times. So we have for so many centuries, we have been suffering so many pogroms. So every coin today is probably based on a hakoras hakuhune where we violated this chumrah midrabbanan, that someone probably was the only survivor from his community and he was accepted as a kohen, which is mikra din deraisa, it's good. Midrabbanan is not good, but the bishas satchak kodol, so we revert back to the din deraisa. So since we're really in violation of the takona derabbanan, so that's what the Maril says, that by the Ashkenazim the minig is that they don't eat truma. I understand by some of the Shvarim they don't have this practice. So some of the Kohanim do eat truma. They go to mikveh and they eat truma. One of the Kohanim was telling me that he wants to go to mikveh on Erev Pesach. He wants to eat chalas chutz l'oretz by the Seder and say three brachas. Amotzi lechem min ha'oretz, asher gesham sa'ar, al achilas matzah, asher gesham b'kedushos shalaren, mitzivanu al achilas ha'truma. By the Ashkenazim we don't do it, but by the Shvarim apparently they do it. Yeah, at the end of Parsha Shmini, you have the din that if somebody is Tomei and he wants to become Toho, he has to go to a mikveh, either a mikveh or a mayan. Ach mayon, or bor mikveh mayim, yihye tohor. A person can either become Tohor by being Tovel in a mikveh, or by being Tovel in a mayon. A mikveh is miloshen kova v'kaima, the water is stagnant. If it's rainwater or snow that melted, the snow capped mountains and the snow melts in it and it's flowing down the side of the mountain, so that's called a chardel shel gshamim. The rain is flowing down the side of the mountains, or the snow is melting and falling down the side of the mountain. So that's zochlim. So zochlim is puzzle for tvila bibor. You need bor means mikveh, kovah v'kaima should be stagnant. If the water is zochlim, it's a psul derais. If it's a mayon, that the source of the water is not the rain or the snow, the source of the water is from under the ground springs. So then, adarabit, then it's only called a mayon if it's zechlin. If you have a mayon, if you have the source of the waters from under the ground, and then you get it trapped in a certain location, and it's a bor, then it's a mikveh, then it's not a mayon. Then it loses its status as mayon, then it's only a mikveh. Do you ever need dafke mayon? So the psukim say when you have a person is a zav, he can only become tohar if he's toivol in a mayon. If he's tovel in a mikveh, it's not good enough. All the other tamein can either be to have a brera, either ach mayon or bar mikveh mayim, either or. Either be tovel in a mayon or be tovel in a mikveh. One or the other, with the one exception of a zav. The Ramban Achumish, at the end of Parshas Metzora, quotes from the Geonim. A lot of Geonim wrote a chiddush that a zava has the same din as a zav. So just like a zav needs davke mayim chayim, so the Zava also requires Mayim Chayim. If you say like that, so then all the women Bizman Azeh we treat as if they're Zavas, because we always require Shivan Akim. Shivan Akim is only if the woman is a Zava. If she's a Nida, so she doesn't need Shivan Akim. So since we treat all the women as a Suffolk Zava, so then we should insist all the women have to be Tovel Dafke in a Mayan. They can't be Tovel in a Mikveh. We don't follow that opinion. We clearly do not follow that opinion. The Ramban says that the Goinim are wrong, and he quotes a Beferish of Tosefta Megillah, where the Tosefta says, you have a series of Mishnahs, the end of the first parak. Ein Bein, a whole list of Ein Bein. So it says in the Tosefta, a longer list of Ein Beins. So it says, Ein Bein Zav L'Zava Ella, they both need Shivan Akim. But the difference is that a Zav needs Mayim Chaim and a Zava does not need Mayim Chaim. So that's a Tosefta that shows that the Goyim are wrong. Rashi in 6, 7, 8 different places in Shas quotes the Goyim. So 3 or 4 places he quotes it, then he leaves it like that. The other 3 places Rashi quotes it, then he quotes a Tosefta and he says that they're wrong. Like the Ramban wrote like that. So they always point out on the side, on the margin of the daf, look on all the other 6 Rashis, that half the time Rashi quotes the Goyim and he leaves it like that, half the time Rashi quotes the Goyim and he disagrees, and he quotes a Tosefta Megillah, that they're not correct. Yeah, when else do you need Maim Chaim? The Mishnah says in the Goyim, Mishnah in the Goyim, that there are 3 places where the halacha requires Maim Chaim. One is for a Zav, wants to be Toivo. And one is when you have in Parshas Mitzorah, Zosti Ataras HaMitzorah B'yom Taharas, and when the Mitzorah, when the Negatzaras is healed, it's some kind of a medical sickness, so you have to take Shtei Tzipayim Chais Taharas, Beitzeres Ushni Talas, you have to take, you have to shech the tzipa hashchuto el klicheres al mayim chaim. You have to take dafke mayim chaim. Mayim chaim is the name of the soda, but also mayim chaim means a mayon, water from a mayon, as opposed to rainwater or melting snow. So you need mayim chaim for taharas hametzora. When the mitzora is toivel in a mikveh, that's fine. He doesn't have to be toivel on mayim chaim. When you do the hazor from the dam atzibra shchuto and on top of the mayim achayim, and then you do the hazor izal mitarmin atzara sheva tamim and sheva pamim and so on. So for that mixing with the dam atzibra shchuto, that has to be mayim chayim. Then you have in parshas chukas also. The din is when you take a paraduma, you shecht it and you burn it. Then you take a little bit of the ashes and you mix the ashes into mayim chayim. So those, the Mishnah says, those are the 3 cases where the halacha requires dafke mayim chaim. You need by taharas hametzora for the hazor, and tomei meis for the hazor shlishi shvi, you need mayim chaim, and for the tefillah of a zav. And the zava, we assume, does not need mayim chaim. Not like the goyim. Our practice is that the women are not tevil. Some chassidim are machmer like that. The Bach recommends that one should be machmer for the shita sagoyim, even though it's against the Tosefta. So they say the Tosefta means Ben HaTorah, and the Goyim meant Ben Rabbanon. So the Tosefta doesn't contradict them. So on Mansi Taka, they have a couple of mikvahs for women where the water is mamash mayim chayim, that it's a mayon, it's not stam a mikveh. Rabbi Tendler checked how healthy the water is. So he says that there are much lower percentage of germs in the mayim chayim than there are in a regular mikveh. A regular mikveh, the water is stagnant. So one person goes, the second person goes, the third person goes, 4, 10 people go in the same mikveh, because everybody brings all their germs with them. If you have mayim chaim, so the water is changing all the time, so the water is going to be healthier. Okay? It's a chumrah. The Bach recommends you should be machmeh for the shita sagoinim, and it's even healthier. The Rishonim have a machlokes about that. The Gemara says that a mikveh needs arboim so, even if the person is a midget, because the Odom Beinin needs arboim so, that it should be maim shuv kol gufo elo behem bevasachas. So the Rashbam, the Torah Sabayis, quotes a machlokes of Rishonim. What about mayon? Does a mayon for tfilas Odom need mem so, or no? It's a bekol shum. That's a big machlokes of Rishonim. The Rashbam, the Torah Sabayis, quotes a remez to prove that you do need memso for tefillah sodom, because the Mei HaShiloach was a mayon on the outskirts of Yerushalayim, and the pasuk in Novi says Mei HaShiloach HaHolchim Laat Lamed Aleph Tes, and the gematria of Lamed Aleph Tes is 40. So it's a befeirish right that you need Abayim So even for a Mei HaShiloach. That's a Rashbam's gematria. Not a balatur. I think he quotes it from early Rishonim. Mei HaShiloach HaHolchim Liat. I remember when we had the course in Paradise Law, so the professor didn't realize that Shiloach is not the same as Shiloh. He thought there was a misprint in the holy text of the Paradise Lost. Shiloach is a mayon, and Shiloh is a siddur, is a city. And Eretz is not the same. One is wet and one is dry. They're 2 different things. Yeah. At the end of Parshas Mitzora, you have the dinim of Nida in Zava. The dam comes from the same place. Dam comes min amokar of the Yisha, but the Nida is when the dam comes the yes nidosa, when it's expected. And an isha zava is when she has the dam below es nidosa. That's how it's described in the Chumash. When is it be es nidosa, when is it below es nidosa? So the Mishnah states, the very end of Maseches Nida, the last Mishnah Nida says, based on drushas, either based on drushas from Sukkim or based on halacha l'moshe m'sinai. That's the Gemara, the last daf. In Masneches Nida, the Gemara says that it's a machlek, it's Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah, whether this is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, this is learned out from the Pasuk, that there are yud alef yom shebe nida l'nida. That if a woman becomes a nida, she's a nida for 7 days, and the next 11 days, if she'll have a riyaz dam, she will become a zova, because that's called lo es nidosa. That's abnormal, that the woman should have dam in the 11 days following the first 7 days of the nida. That's called lo es nidosa. So then she has a din of zova. So what is the din of zova? So the Gemara, the Mishnah has all the dinim. There's an institution of zova ktana and of zova gedola. Zova gedola means if a woman has 3 days in a row, 3 consecutive days, and Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida L'Nida, she has dam. If she only has 1 day, she has 2 days in a row, even if she has many Rias, for 2 days in a row, she's only a Zavak Tana. If she has 3 days in a row, then she becomes a Zavak Dola. Tosfos and Nida quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Sadigoin that if the woman has 3 days, they don't have to be consecutive days. If she has dam 3 different days within a Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida L'Nida, she becomes a Zavak Dola. And Tosfos says, with all due respect for Apsad Yigon, it's against often the Gemara. The Gemara is beferish that it has to be dafka 3 consecutive days. So what's the din of a Zava Ktana? What's the din of a Zava Gdoilo? So the din of a Zava Ktana is that she has to have Shemeris Yom Kineged Yom. She has to have 1 day Tohar. So if she had dam on Monday, and Monday is the middle of Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida L'Nida, she can't go to Mikvah on Monday. She's Tamei a whole day. She has to wait to make a Bedika tomorrow morning. And then she can be tovel in the morning. Menatar, we would say, Miktus Hayom Kukulay. If a woman has 2 days in a row, Monday and Tuesday, she has to wait till Wednesday morning, make a bedika Tuesday afternoon before the shkia, make sure there's no dam on Tuesday night, and then Wednesday morning she'll make a bedika and be tovel in the mikveh based on the principle of the Miktus Hayom Kukulay. But if the woman has a riyah of 3 days in a row, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and these Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, in the middle of the Yulaf Yom Shebe Nida L'Nida, then she needs Shivanikim. Then she has to make a bidika hefsek tara at the end of the 3rd day to make sure there's no more dam at the beginning of the 4th day. Then she has to make bidikas each of the 7 days of the Shivanikim. So this is the difference between Zavaktana and Zavagdoli. Yeah, the Zavaktana only needs Shemeris Yom Kenega and Yom. She needs Shimur on 1 day, and the Zavagdoli needs Shivanikim. Another difference is at the end of Shivanikim. So the Zavak Dola has to bring a korban. The Zavak Tana does not have to bring a korban. We have a principle that we apply to Hilchas Avelos on the morning of the 7th day of Shiva. So we say Miktsus Hayom Kukulay. On the morning of the last day of Shloshim, we apply the rule of Miktsus Hayom Kukulay. Where does that come from? Miktsus Hayom Kukulay is a principle, it's a din deraisa. So the Gemara says it's learned out from the Pasuk by Zova. It says, V'safa lo shivas yomim, v'acha titar. What does it mean, v'acha titar? So the Gemara understands, v'acha maise titar. If she'll make a bedika in the morning of the 7th day, that would be sufficient. And in our Torah, we would permit her to be tovel in the mikveh in the morning to declare miktus hayom kukula. By Anida, you can't say miktus hayom kukula. Anida doesn't need shivinikim. Anida has a riyaz dam, let's say, on Sunday. So she's Tameya for the next 7 days, whether she has dam or she doesn't have dam. She's Tameya anyway, and there's nothing to do bedikas about. So when the 7 days are up, she can go to mikveh right away. She doesn't have to make any midirabbana. We request she should make a bedika to make sure that the dam is not continuing. She needs a hefsek tara to know that the dam didn't continue after the 7 days of nidus. But the bedika is not for the sake of counting Yomim Shmurim. It's not for Sofrolot, it's not a din of Sfiris. Sfira over here. Zavaktana has to do a bedika. She needs Shemeris Yom Kenega Yom. Zavakdola needs bedikas for 7 days, and Nida doesn't need any bedikas at all. So because there's no pu'ula to do, so you can't apply the rule of Miktus Hayom Kukuloi. You only say Miktus Hayom Kukuloi when let's say, in Shiva or in Shloshim, the person has to be noyig. We learned when we were learning about Bochsos Aviv Asima Yerach Yomim, that the Yefastar has to observe some type of Nihu Gavelus. So, Vosasos Tziparnel, she has to let her fingernails grow. That's a Nihu Gavelus. The Gemara calls it Nivul. So within Shiva, we require Nivul Meruba. Within Shloshim, we require Nivul Bemikza. So then, since there's some Pu'ula that's required, Nivul Bemikza, Nivul Meruba, so then you say in the morning of the last day of Shiva, the morning of the last day of Shloshim, we apply the rule of Mikzem Kukula, which is learned off in this pasuk of Acha Titar, Acha Maisa Titar. The morning of the last day of Yud Beis Chodesh, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you can't apply Mikzem Hayam Kukula. So the official explanation that's given in Shulchan Aruch is that you only apply Mikzem Hayam Kukula when the units that you're working with are days. Shiva is 7 days and Shloshim is 30 days. Yud Beis Chodesh, you're working with the units of Chodoshim. You're not working with the units of days. Every Chodesh has a number of days to it, but that's not what you're working with. You're working with the Chodoshim. So that's the official explanation that the Trumas Hadeshin gives. That's quoted by the Meforshim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. And Rav Soloveitchik suggested, V'od Yeshlomo, there's another good reason why you can't apply Mikzem Kukula. It's just like by Nida, you don't say Mikzem Kukula, because she doesn't have to do any Maisa Bedika. But the Zavaktana, she has to do a bedika on the first day. So once she does the bedika in the morning, I say, Miktsas Nihug, observed on that day, is sufficient. The Zavaktana has to also do Safalo Shivas Yam. She needs bedikas for 7 days. So when she does the Miktsas Nihug, the last day of the Malos of the 7 days, I say, Miktsam Kukula. But by the Yud Beis Chodesh, there is no Nihug of Avelus. You don't require either Nivul Meruba nor Nivul B'miktsas. All you require is Miyu Tanugim. So it's always Shevi Al Tase. There's never any kumli asay in Avelis Yid B'chodesh. So there is no nihug of anything. So you can't say mixas nihug is kachol anig. You don't say mixam kukula. You don't say mixam kukula, let's say you'll observe Shabbos in the morning and that's enough. No, all day long is Shabbos. You don't need. The early Achrenim ask, why don't you say mixam kukula on Shabbos, on Yontif? Years ago, there used to be people who went to Shul Shabbos and they made Kiddush and they went to work. Mixam kukula. So that's Akasha that the Achrenim discussed. Why don't you say that? So the Teretz is because all day long, the Shabbos all day long, that's a calendaric day. The only time you apply Mixam Kukula, it's if it's you're talking about a malos, a unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. Shabbos and Yontif is calendaric. All day long is Shabbos, all day long is Yontif. All day long is Tisha B'Av. The Goyim raised the question regarding Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is like Shiva. And Shiva, you say Mixam Kukula, the last day of Shiva, so Tisha B'Av is the last day. It's the first day and the last day. So you should say Mixa Sayam Kukulai. So that's the Pashtus is, the answer is, that's Tisha B'Av was established as a calendaric day. But when someone becomes a Nazir, it's not a calendaric day. That's a Malois of 30 days superimposed on top of the calendar. So the last day of the 30 days of the Naziris, the Gemara says in the first parak in Nazir, you can say Mixam Kukulai. That's a malos. Avelus is a malos. Zava is a malos. All these things are malos. So if you're dealing with a malos, means a unit of time that's superimposed upon the calendar, then the last day, if you're doing nihugim, if you have to do some nihug, so I say mixes, I yam kukulai, if you do a little nihug the last day, that's sufficient. So by nida, there is no nihug to do. By zava, there is a requirement of a nihug. Safala shivas yam. Safala means to do bedikas. Safala means to do bedikas. That's what the Rishonim ask. How do you know that Rishonim law means bedikas? Maybe it just means to count the peh. Shalom has like that. Pischechu makes fun of the Shalom. He says, Oiv mitzvahs liyizba mitzvahs. The Pasuk says in Kohelis, Oiv kesef liyizba kesef. A person who loves money will never be satisfied as much money as he has. He'll always want more money. So the Medrash has a comment on that Pasuk, just like in Gashmias, Oiv kesef liyizba kesef. So to a mitzvah, oiv mitzvahs liyizba mitzvahs. A person who loves to do mitzvahs will never be satisfied with as many mitzvahs as he has. He'll always be running to have additional mitzvahs. So the Pischei Tshuva makes fun of the Shaloh HaKadosh with respect to the Shaloh came up with the Chiddush that the woman who's counting Shemitikim should say every day, Hayom Yamecha l'Sfira Shemitikim, Hayom Shnei Yom l'Sfira Shemitikim. Just like by Sfira Soima, you have to have Sfira B'peh. So by the Zavah also you need Sfira B'peh. So we assume that it's not so. They just have to make the bedikas.
Doesn't places in Menachos say that the reason a woman doesn't make a bracha before her sphere is because she might be sizing
Right, Tosfos asks the question, we say a bracha when we do Sviras HaOmer, why shouldn't the Zavah say a bracha when she does Sviras HaMinikim? So the simple translation of the words sounds like Tosfos subscribes to the Shaloah, that every day she's going to say, today's the first day, today's the second day. And they're asking the Kasha, why doesn't she say a bracha when she counts the days, just like we say a bracha when we count HaMinikim? So our Soloveitchik thought, no, Tosfos didn't mean that. Tosfos meant she should say a bracha before she does the Bedikah. She should do bedikas. So just like you said, brach al sfira sa omer, there it means to count sfira bepeh. Sfira means sfira de bedikas. So the woman should say a bracha before she does the bedikah each day. So that's what Tosfos says. You can't say a bracha. You don't control it. It may turn out that there is going to be dam. So it's a sofik bracha lematov. So the simple reading of the Tosfos is like the Shaloh. So Rav Soloveitchik thought not necessarily so. It doesn't have to be the pshat in the Tosfos. So even if it turns out that she's Tameya, she did the mitzvah. She did do the mitzvah. Yeah, but the pasuk says Safala Shivas Yomim Toherim. If she'll do this sphere come out that it's Tamei, it's like a Bedika Chametz. Fine, she did what she's supposed to do. But Safala Shivas Yomim means that it should be Toherim. Vachatita. So Ramban HaChumash discusses that. How did the Tanoim know that by Sfira Saimer, the Ramban assumes not like the Shalom. How did they know that by Sfira Saimer it means Sfira B'Peh, and by the Zavah it doesn't mean Sfira B'Peh, it just means to count? The Ramban is not sure. What about the beginning of Parshas Behar? It says, V'Safarta L'cha Sheva Shaps HaShonim Sheva Pomim Sheva Shonim Sheva Pomim, that the Bez Nagodol has a mitzvah to count every year to lead up to Shemitah, and seven Shemitahs to lead up to Yovel. So the Rambam writes that it's a mitzvah, Svira B'Peh, on the Rosh Hashanah of every year, some members of the Bez Nagodol should get up and count. Today's the first year for Svira Shemitah, the Yovel. Today's the second year, first, the beginning of the second year. The Rambam assumes that it's Svira B'Peh. Rambam Chumash is not sure whether the Svira of the years to lead up to Shemitah and to lead up to Yovel, whether that means Sfira B'Peh or that means Sfira to hold Cheshbon. Bez Nagodol should hold the Cheshbon, like by the Zavah, doesn't mean Sfira B'Peh. It means she should hold the Cheshbon. So the Mishnah says that there is an institution of Yud Aleph Yom should be Nidol and Nidol. So most of the Rishonim assume, and this is based on a Beferish Gemara, that the Yud Aleph Yom should be Nidol and Nidol means when the woman becomes a nida, let's say a girl is 12 years old, 11, 12 years old, she has a period, so it becomes a nida, so the first 7 days she's a nida, then only the next 11 days after the first 7 days she has the possibility of becoming a zava. If she'll have dam 1 or 2 days, she'll become a zava ktana. She'll have dam 3 days in all, she'll become a zava gdola, she'll need shivin akim. And if nothing happened, she didn't have any dam then in those 11 days, then you wait till the next time she has done whatever it's going to be, then she'll become a nida for 7 days. Then only the next 11 days, immediately following the 7 days when she became a nida, that's when she can become a zava. And after the 11 days following the 7 days are up, it's free. So the next time she'll have her done whenever it's going to turn out to be, she'll become a nida for 7 days, and so on and so forth. The Rambam has a unique opinion. The first sheet is Rov HaRishonim, and it's Beferish in the Gemara like that. The Rambam has an opinion that's against that Gemara. How can the Rambam say against the Gemara? So all the Achrayim say, the Rambam holds that there's a Gemara Faker. The Rambam holds that's one opinion, and we pass like the other opinion. Why should what one opinion another opinion? Where were the two opinions in the Gemara? So all the Achrayim, they all say Pe Echad. The Aruch Laner with the Chachmas Betzalel, and other Achrayim, they all say the same Teretz. They say the Gemara in the last Daf and Nida quoted the Machlokes of Akiva, Ablozim and Azari, whether this institution of Yud Aleph Yom should be Nidin L'Nidus Halach L'Moshe Misinai, or is based on Psukim. Rabbi Akiva was able to darshan al kol kol tzvikot tili tilim shal halacha. He could read everything into the Chumash. So halacha is that the other Tanoim claimed were Halach L'Moshe Misinai. He said, you don't need Halach L'Moshe Misinai. I'll show you, I'll prove it from the Psukim in the Chumash. So the Gemara in the last daf in Nida quotes two machlokes. One is Yud Aleph Yom Shemay Nidal. And neither Rabbi Kiva holds that it's Psukim, and Rabbi Lozman Azai says, no Psukim, it's Halach al Moshe Misinai. And Mark quotes another issue by Nazir. So the Achrenim all say that if you hold based on the Psukim, then it's only the first 11 days immediately following the 7 days of Nidus, like Rav HaRishonim. But the Rambam Paskin is not like Rabbi Akiva. Rambam Paskin like Rabbi Lozman and Zaretz, Halacha Moshe Messina. So he's open, he's free to say whatever he wants. So the Rambam has this unusual, very unusual opinion that the first time a woman has a Riyaz Dam, so she has to have a lifetime calendar for the next 120 years and mark everything up. If she had the first Riyaz Dam today, on Monday, so Monday through next Sunday is the 7 days of Nidus. The next 11 days is Yud Aleph Yom Shemei Nidah L'Nidah. The next 7 days, if she'll have a Riyaz Dam, it'll be Nidah. The next 11 days, the next 7 days, and the next 11 days, she's set for the rest of her life. A woman has to have a calendar from the day she starts having a Riyaz Dam, and she sets up for the rest of her life. What if the woman has a Vesus Kavua? What if the woman has a Vesus Kavua? Every 40th day she has Dam. So then the Rambam says, no, that's called Beis Nidosa. So even though the Rambam, even though we pass in Beis to Slav the Rice, but Vesus does play a role on the level of the Rice. If the woman has a Vesus Kavua, so you don't say it goes on the Yoylam Vod, 7-11, 7-11, the Yoylam Vod. It goes 7-11, 7-8, 7-11, 7-8, 7-11, 7-8. If it turns out that she has a Vesus Kavua, so that establishes, that's called Beis Nidosa. But if a woman does not establish a Vesus Kavua, most of the women today in our part, in the Western Hemisphere do not have a Vesus Kavua. And the days of the Tanoim, the Gemara claims, the doctors say they have no records of this at all. They never heard of such a thing. But the Gemara, in the end of the first Perek in Nida, claims that Ruba, the Ruba of the women, Bizman HaTalmud, Bizman HaTanoim, had a Vesus Kavua. And the Gemara has a machlekes hatanaim. A woman who doesn't have a vesis, is she allowed to get married? She may be with her husband, and she'll be pierced and need in the middle of Tashmish. So the husband, they'll both be chayv kares. So maybe we shouldn't permit a woman, Anisha Shein La Vesis, to get married. Today, 99% of the women don't have vesis kavua. Is he going to ask all the women from getting married? We don't pass them like that Tana anyway. But how can the Tana have had such a havamina that Anisha Shein La Vesis is not allowed to get married? So obviously, Bizman HaTanoim, The Ruba of the women had a Vesus Kavua. That's what the doctors say. They never heard of such records. That's what's assumed in the Gemara. So the Rambam has this unique opinion that all the Rishonim dispute, all the Rishonim disagree. And the Shachan Yerideh says, we don't, he says, he alludes to the Rambam, says nobody follows the Rambam's opinion, that with the first day the woman gets a Riyas Dam, at the age of 11, 10, 11, 12, whenever, now they get a period even younger. So then she's set for the rest of her life, and unless she'll establish a Vesus Kavua, it's all set, 7-11, 7-11, Leon Avod. Rav Shulchan writes an interesting comment that the Mishnayos have halachas, if a woman is a Toa, a woman forgot where she's holding. She forgot whether she's in the middle of Yemei Nidus, in the middle of Yemei Zivo. So she doesn't know whether she needs Shivinikim, or she doesn't need Shivinikim. How can it be that the woman forgot? The Mishnah has a rare case. The woman doesn't remember if she gave birth to a baby boy or gave birth to a baby girl, or she just went to mikveh yesterday. Mom, she has amnesia. She had shock treatment. She doesn't remember anything. She doesn't remember what continent she lives on. She doesn't remember how old she is. She doesn't remember who her husband is. And you have the Mishnah mentioned in Nida and in Erechin. The Dina for a Toya. What? It was such a common event that a woman wouldn't remember what the... anything. She doesn't remember anything. So Doruch HaShulchan writes, according to the Rambam, we can understand a little better what's going on. Because she has to have a record from Sheshes Mei Bereshes. She has to have a calendar from the woman is 40 years old. She has to have a calendar from the age of 10, 11, 12, when the first Riyah was, in order to determine 7-11 for the rest of her life. So she lost the calendar, so she doesn't remember. Yeah, that explains part of the story. She doesn't remember whether she's in the Yud Aleph Yom or the Zion Yom. That's not so bad, but she doesn't. But the Mishnah is okay. She doesn't remember. She had a baby boy, baby girl. She didn't have a baby. How can it be that she doesn't remember that? That's already missing a couple of marbles. So the Melech HaShulchan wants to say that the fact the Mishnah talks about Toa, the woman who doesn't remember, it sounds a little bit like the Rambam, that the 7-11 goes on the Yoylam Void, and she lost her calendar from the last 40 years. That's why she doesn't remember what she's up to. Yeah, but we don't paskin like that. Rebbe made a takana that you treat all the women Hiskin Rebbe. That's how it says in the Gemara at the end of Masechas Nida. Hiskin Rebbe. Rebbe made a takana that if a woman had one Riyaz Dam, so you have to go Luchumra in both directions. Maybe she's a Nida, maybe she's a Zava. So if maybe she's a Nida, so you need another 6 days. Let's say she had a Riyaz Dam today, on Monday. So the worst thing could be that she's a Nida, so she'd be Tameya till next Sunday night and go to Mikvah on Sunday night, the end of the 7 days. But if she has a Riyaz Dam 3 days in a row, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so then you have to be concerned, maybe she's a Zava. Even though she knows that she's not a Zava, that was Rebbe's takana. We treat every woman as if she were a Toa, as if she forgot and she made a mistake. She doesn't remember what she's up to. And Misafik, we would require the Shivaniki, maybe she's maybe she would be a Zava. That's a big machlekes harishonim. And what does it mean? He treat the woman if she's a suffix nida, suffix zava? Or do you say no? They treat the woman as if she's both a nida and a zava. And on the level of the rice, it can't be that the woman is both a nida and a zava. Either she's one or the other. If it's best nida, so she's a nida. If it's below es nida, so then she's going to be a zava. So the question is, but the chumra midirabon. What's the difference, halach alamaisa, where they treat the woman as if she's both a nida and a zava? Or they treat the chumra as a suffix nida, suffix zava? So the Ramah quotes a chumra that most people do not have, and he doesn't recommend that you should have it, but he says there are some communities where they have chumra. Then the Dark Yitzchuba quotes that this chumra stems from a Medrash Tanchuma, that some of the women, when a woman has a Riyaz Dam, she waits 7 days and then she waits Shivanikim afterwards. We don't have that practice. We don't have such a practice. Why do they wait 7 days, then they wait Shivanikim afterward? So the Dark Yitzchuba quotes in the Medrash Tanchuma, and this machlek is a Rishonim. This is a machlek, the Balamor and the Ravid. What was the nature of Takanas Rebbe? Well, the Rebbe made a Takana to treat every woman who has a Riyaz Dam as a Suffolk Nida, Suffolk Zava, or is she both a Nida and a Zava? So the Medrash Tanchuma has a Chumi treat as if she were both a Nida and the Zava, and we're machmer for Abai's opinion. Whenever there's machlegis Abai v'Rava, we usually paskin like Rava, except for Yalkigam. So there's a big question. Some of the letters of the Yalkigam, we know clearly what they refer to. Yud is Yir Shalomidas, Mem is Mumarech on the Veilus Letiyoven, Ayin is Eid Zavin Lamafreyu Nifsa, Mikhail Ham Nifsa. Some of the letters we know. And the Laman is questionable. Laman is Machlegis Rashi and the Rabbein Atam. Whether the Laman is Yimele Dosish and Eroi Bohem, or the Laman is Lechi Haimed Me'elov. So the Rabbein Atam has a Chumre, which we don't really accept in Shulchan Aruch, that the Laman stands for Yimele Dosish and Eroi Bohem, that we should paskan like Abaye be Al Kigam. Abaye says, if a woman is both a Nida and a Zava, and let's say the woman is a Nida, that's impossible. A woman can never be a Nida and a Zav. But if a woman is a Yoleda, she has the same din as a Nida. It says, Kimei Nida's device a Titma. The Tumah of a Yoleda is either for 7 days for a boy or for 14 days for a girl, has the same status as a Nida. So if the woman will both be a Nida and a Zava, a Yoleda and a Zava, so you have to wait till after the 7 days of Yimei Nida are up to begin to be able to count the Shivanakim of a Zava. So the Rabbein Atam holds that that's the din, like Abai, that Yimei Leidos Hashem Eroi Bohem are not Oilem L'Sfira Zivosim. So if you hold like that Rabbein Atam, and you hold that the Takon of Rebbe was that now we treat every woman as if she's a Suffolk Nida, Suffolk Zava, you treat her as if she's both a Nida and a Zava, so then she had a Riyaz Dama on Monday, so you have to wait till Sunday night to finish this Man of Nida, and then you have to begin to count the Shivanikim starting from next Tuesday. So then you always need 14 days. You always need a minimum of 14 days. So most people do not have that practice. We wait, the woman waits till the dam ends, and then she starts counting Shivanikim before the first 7 days are up. We have Chumash and Shulchan Aruch, even if the dam ends within the first 5 days, you always count 5 days. The Shulchan Aruch has a whole explanation why you always have to count 5 days, but not that you need 7 days and 7 days. 7 days and 7 days is based on this tziruf, the combination of the two chumras. that we treat all of the women as if they're both Anida and Azova, and you're following Rabbi Natam, who claims that the Lamed of Yalkigam, the din is like Abai, by Yimele Dosish and Rebahem, that the Shivanikim cannot be counted if the woman is Anida or Yoledis anyway. Shivanikim means I'm postponing the mikveh, I'm postponing going to mikveh because of the fact I am Azova. If the woman is Anida anyway, if the woman is Yoledis anyway, so she has to wait anyway. So that's not called postponing the tefillah because of the zivos. So that's what Abai holds. He mainly does it. Shnei Rabbi Behem are not oilim l'sfira zivos. It used to be a practice in the days of the Rabbi Natam. Tosus quotes it. Tosus increases quotes this practice. B'chol orit zorfas v'ashkenaz, in France and in Germany, when a woman had a baby, she would go to mikveh twice. She would go to mikveh after the, if it was a baby boy, she would wait 7 days, go to mikveh. Baby girl, she would wait 14 days, then go to mikveh. And after going to mikveh, then she would count shivanikim. Because the goyim came up with such a chumer, the Shiltas has this, Tosfos and the Rabbi quoted from the Shiltas, then kulo nashi didan yoldas bezivahin. Whenever a woman gives birth to a baby, we treat it as if she's a yoledas bezov. So every Yoledis has to have Shivanikim. A Chumash, it says the Yoledis does need Shivanikim. But because the Mishnahs talk about a possibility of a woman who became a Zava before she gave birth to the baby, so the Goyim instituted such a Chumash. Kula Nashi Didan, all of our wives, we treat them Yoldas Beziva Ninu, and every Yoledis needs Shivanikim. So if the Yoledis has to wait 7 days, or 7 or 14 days because of Tumas Yoledis, and you hold like Abaye that you may lead us, and there's no dam, let's say. There always is dam. It takes a long time after a woman gives birth to a baby. It takes a long time till the dam stops. But the Gemara talks theoretically. If such a case should happen, the dam stops coming in the middle of the 7 or the 14 days. So the Abaye's opinion is, and Rabbi Natan Paskins like this Abaye, you can't begin to count Shivanikim till after you may need us are up. And then he holds like you have to go to mikveh for that. That's based on another Gemara. So the common practice was that all of the Yoldos used to go shtei tefillos. They would go one tefillah Rishona after the 7 or the 14 days were up after having given birth to the baby girl or baby boy. And then they would wait to make Shivanikim, then they would be tevil and mikveh again a second time. They didn't have warm mikvahs like we have today. They didn't have such convenient, safe mikvahs. They used to, a lot of times, crack the ice and be tevil in a river outside there. You can get pneumonia from going to mikveh once. If you have to go twice, if you're sure, you can get pneumonia. So many developed a minig that they wouldn't go twice to mikveh. They would just wait till the end of the 40 days, the end of the 80 days, and then count Shivanikim. You can't begin to count Shivanikim in the middle of the 40 or the 80 days unless you went to mikveh tefillah rishayna. That's Rabbi Natam says, based on a Beis Hillel shita, that the 40-day malos for a boy, a 80-day malos for a girl, is broken up into two parts, 7 and 33, 14 and 66, but it's not always going to be 7. The Bishamai Shita is 7 and 33. The 7 days are up, even without going to mikveh. We don't pass like Bishamai, we pass like Bisil, B'yoymi Tvila, Talya Rachmana. You have to wait 7 days and then go to mikveh, and then the 33 days begin. And if a woman doesn't go to mikveh till after 20 days, so then Yimei Tohar will only be 20 days. If she doesn't go to mikveh till after 30 days, she'll only have Yimei Tohar of 10 days. And if she waits to go to mikveh till after the whole 40 days are up, then she only needs Shivanikiyim 7 days, because we treat all the women as if she's Yoldas Bezov. So that was a minig that developed, because the Rabbi Natam required Shtei Tevilas, one tefillah after the 7 days, and one tefillah after the Shivanikiyim. And it was freezing, they could get pneumonia to go to mikveh once, so they didn't want to have to go twice, so they would wait 7 days after the whole malos was all over. So then even Beis Hillel would be satisfied. If you want to break up the 40 days or the 80 days, between some is Yimei Tor, some is Yimei Tumah, some is Yimei Tor, then you need Yom Yod Tefillah. You have to have 7 days plus Tefillah. If you wait till after the 40 days are up, wait till after the 80 days are up. So the whole Malos is up already. So for sure Yimei Tumasa are up. So then you just have to wait, Shivanikim. So there was such a practice. Yeah, but bottom line, by the time it came to the Shulchan Aruch, they don't even mention. Shach mentions it. In the Shulchan Aruch proper, they don't mention this Rabbi. In the time, his opinion is not accepted, Bizman Hazem. In the days of the Balei HaTosfos, it says it was all over. B'chol orei tzarfas v'ashkenaz, they were machmer to have shtei tefillos, because of Rabbi Natan. that he paskan that the laman of Yalkigam that we paskan like Abai is Yimei Dosa Sheni Rebbehem and not Oilem in the sphere as Yivasi. He can't begin to count Shivinikim until after the Yimei Dosa Arum. Yeah, these parshas are relevant halacha
l'maisa. Maybe we just describe that about Tosa Shita. Should we go to the should we wait to the end of the 40 days and then wait 7 more days and go to the mikveh once? That was
in order to save one mikveh. Yeah, and then the minhag developed later, which makes no sense whatsoever, that the woman waits to the end of the 40 days, then she goes to mikveh. So what do you accomplish by that? What do you accomplish by if you wait to the end of the 40 days, then you wait shiva nikiyim? Then we understand it's a lom d'shirdik. So the Ramah says there is such a minhag to wait till the end of the 40 days to be toivel. So the Shach says it started off making sense. You wait till the end of the 40 days, then you count Shivinikim and you save an extra tefillah. But to wait till the end of the 40 days and be toivel, and that's it. So why do you have to wait till the end of 40 days? Say, wait, make Shivinikim before and go to mikveh earlier. You don't gain anything by waiting till the end of the 40 days period. So the Shach says that it started off as a good minhag. Does no longer makes any sense. If we wait till the end of the 40 days plus Shiva Nikim, that's how it started off. Okay, again, I apologize. I was not able to prepare a shiur. I think we better start Chazara. Okay, I'm not in a position to learn this Gemara, Daf Chavav on the days. So where are we going to start Chazara from?
Geras.
So there's very little to Chaza. Okay. So where did the Geras begin? Yeah, Memhamer base. That's it.
Memhamer.
Okay, from Memhamer base. So the Chaz of the Geras. Okay. No, I'll try to put myself together. Maybe we'll learn an easier Gemara. This Gemara, you got to be able to concentrate.
So we'll have a thing, and then we'll think of the
Well, during finals, I'm not going to give shiur. I want the guys to do well on finals. The whole month of June is going to be shiur. So it's Ois Hashem. Think till June 20th.